I am a woman.
I am a man.
I am middle class.
I am working class.
I'm just classy.
I am a professional student.
I am kind of directionless.
I am the light of the world.
I am dedicated.
I'm just trying to find a place where I can sit in the quiet.
I'm trying to decide what to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah, I am blind. But I want to see. I feel like everything's dark around me, like the world has no detail. I want to see the face of God, but I struggle to see through the haze.
Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world.
Our first Bible reading is Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. It's on page 111 in the church Bibles. Numbers 21, verse 4. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. The second reading is John chapter 8, verse 12 to 30. And it's on page 757. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Or is that why he says, Where I go, you cannot come. But Jesus continued, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Jesus replied, just what I have been claiming all along. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him.
Well, good morning.
Okay, so if you wanted to take notes, then we're going to do Jesus is the light of the world. We're going to focus on identity, and then light, and then proof, and then role, and finally look. I'm also going to be asking you some questions and expecting you to respond. So be ready for me to say, what do you think? And then give me a response. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you came down. We praise you that you show us who you are, and you show us the Father, and you show us great things by who you are. Lord, please help us to come with open hands and open hearts and open minds that we can see what you are teaching us today. Help us by your Spirit to understand you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, who am I? My identity. I am. Part of my identity is my relationship or my name. So from my name, you can probably gather that I'm from a certain background. Like tan is common in Chinese Malaysians. From my gender, I'm male. I'm a husband and I'm a father. Some people get their identity from their relationships, or their jobs, or their status in society, or their achievements. Some people show their identity with work. So say I wore this work shirt, what would that say about me? Where's my hard hat? I do have to wear a hard hat, but they call it a helmet. And this post sign says, I'm a postman. And once upon a time, wearing a postman's uniform would give you some sort of an element of respect in society. Not so much anymore, but they used to be trustworthy members of society. Is there anything else you'd like to say about that? You're going to get a bit of a blue-collar sermon today. What if I wore this work shirt? I don't know if how many people would be able to identify it. It's not my work shirt. I had to borrow it. Some people, if I turned up wearing this instead of that, would be greatly offended because this identity tells you something about myself. What do you think about this work shirt? Oh, Josh likes it. He's got a similar one. I bet you it's in black and white. A
priest or a minister, yeah. For some people that would be trustworthy, for some people it's something a bit scary. Yeah, I'm going to preach at you. Perhaps you need to pay attention. Okay, this passage that was just read to us, Jesus lays claim about his identity. And what does he say? What does he mean? And what should we do with it? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. They are simple words to understand, but they are full of meaning. I won't show you that part yet, sorry. And the Pharisees, for some reason, find offence in what he's saying, and they argue with him. Jesus, the light of the world. So, like if I put on this collar, it says something about my authority. And some people would be offended, because what right have I got to wear this collar? Well, where are your qualifications? Who ordained you? Where are your papers? You're not allowed to wear that. And Jesus says something that gives him authority. Jesus makes a claim that has meanings inside it. So what do you think he means? When he says, I'm the light of the world, what do you think he means? What does it mean to you? What does a light do? It shines? Yep, a light shines.
Allows you to see.
Allows you to see. So light exposes things. Shines in the darkness? Yep. So a lighthouse shines in the darkness and steers you away from danger. Say that again.
A guide.
A guide, yep. Light is a guide. So if you go, I'll talk about that a little bit later. Shows what things are really like. Yep, you're right. So this morning I had to have a shave to come here. And I turned on the light so I'd be less ugly than what I normally am. All right, let's go through this quickly. Light exposes. So, my father-in-law bought a second-hand car door yesterday and had it fitted because someone ran into him. I didn't know he was going to be here this morning, but... And it was cheaper to replace the door than to have the car... to have the dent repaired. But if you look at the car door in one direction, in the sun, it looks great. It looks like a brand new car. If you look at it from a different direction, and you know that it's been repaired, it's slightly darker than the other door. So light exposes. Light shows where the faults are. Jesus exposes imperfections as well. Light guides. One thing you need when you're camping is a good light. It shows you the path. It helps you avoid rocks and potholes. It helps you go to the toilet in the middle of the night and not have an accident. Jesus guides as well. His attitudes can shape our decisions. Light changes perceptions or understanding. So we have an expression, he shed light on the situation. So he comes with a different perspective and helps you understand it in a different way or gives you greater understanding. So Jesus shapes society amazingly. If you think about how the Muslim world treats women or how they think about slaves or how they think about historical artefacts, it's completely different from how Christian society values those things, those people. If you think about the Hindus, they have completely different ideas about equality than what Christians do. And that is mostly because of Jesus or Jesus' followers. So Jesus changes perceptions or understanding. A model or an archetype. Jesus is held up as a great teacher. Not only were his teachings different from what normal teachers did, but he did it with humility. He's a great leader because he led as a servant. And that was completely different from the way people used to lead those days, the way people might lead today. A few years ago, there was a movement where you could buy things like bracelets with WWJD on, or books with WWJD, or bookmarks and that sort of thing. WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that movement tried to make Christians think before in any situation, what would Jesus do? Say I was in a car accident, I would look at my bracelet and think, what would Jesus do if he was in this car accident? I should do that. Or if you need to make a decision, should I study nursing or psychology? What would Jesus do? I should do that. I don't know if Jesus actually had the opportunity to do that, but anyway, what would Jesus do? In the Jewish context, light and law are related. So, if you think about Psalm 119, let me read it for you. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So, in Jesus' context, law and light were related. Life. In John, right at the beginning, John 1, John relates light to life, and that was also in a Jewish context as well. So for John, John said, in him, or in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of mankind. So John relates light to life. And God's presence was also commonly associated with light. So think about Moses and the burning bush. There was light there. Whenever there was God's presence with an angel, there was light. Let me read for you Ezekiel 1. I saw from what appeared to be his waist up, it looked like a glowing metal, and as if full of fire. And from there down, he looked like fire. A brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord was related to light as well. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Light and salvation. So light and salvation was also linked. So I'll talk to you about the Exodus a little bit later. But Isaiah 60 verse 19, the sun will no more light you, be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory, and your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. So light and salvation were linked. When Jesus says that he is the light of the world, well, what was the context of him saying that? Where was he? The context of him saying that was that he was at a feast, at the Feast of Tabernacles in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was a week-long holiday to remember the Exodus, when God released the nation from slavery and guided them in the desert. God gave them salvation. In this one act, he gave them a relationship. He gave them the law. He gave them food and water. He sustained them along the way in the desert. And they totally depended on him. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles celebrated all of those things. Now, in some ways, like, we're heading towards Anzac Day, and Anzac Day is important in Australian minds. And in some ways, the Feast of Tabernacles, that celebration, was similar to our Anzac Day. So we're making preparations for Anzac Day. We have a public holiday if you work on Saturdays. And Anzac Day celebrates nationhood. It celebrates heroism. It celebrates salvation. It celebrates freedom. Now, their Feast of Tabernacles celebrated all of those things as well. But their context was celebrating it in the light of God. Tim, can I get you to turn on those lights, please? So light was an important part of the Feast of Tabernacles. They used to have these huge lamps light up the courtyards of the temple. I read this somewhere in my research, that when they lit up these huge lamps, they'd be able to see the temple for miles around. And they remember that God guided them by night with a pillar of fire. So this was the context of what Jesus was saying. He was in the temple courtyard, perhaps with a great big lamp shining behind him, a huge lamp with a huge wick. And he said, "I am the light of the world." So when he said it, it had lots more meaning than what we might be thinking. He said it when they were being visually reminded of God guiding them and saving them. Jesus lights the way. Jesus is the example. He shows us our problems. He brings us salvation. He promises a place. He says, "Look to me. Trust me. I will give you life." Proof. The Pharisees didn't believe him. They disputed his credentials. On Friday, when I was delivering the mail, I saw an ad on top of the letterboxes. Now, this was put in everyone's letterboxes. "Mr. Mustafa, African spiritualist." Let me read it to you. "Great seer and spiritual healer, powerful, fast and effective, illustrious consultant, the great seer to stir Kalka kind of problems or difficulty, desperate love, Sean chronic, enfermedades, love chronicles, dating, fast retrieve or successfully moorings, passionate attraction, attract luck in your business clients, remove evil eye offenders, sexual impotence, depression, 100% guaranteed. I receive every day from 9 to 22 hours to improve its economic situation. For more information, call now. Will not regret. It helps to leave snuff, alcohol and drugs immediately." And leaves a phone number. Now, I wasn't inclined to call this number, even if I had some of these problems, even if I understood some of these difficulties. But can we trust him? Can you trust him? This guy makes great claims, but what do you think? Is he trustworthy? Well, Jesus also made great claims. Can you trust him? The authorities say, "Don't believe him." In verse 13, they say, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Like the African spiritualist, he makes great claims, but he can't prove them. "We don't believe your claims are true." How do we know you're trustworthy? Well, Jesus does give proof, but it's on a completely different level than what they have experienced. It's as if he's coming from a different dimension. It's as if they're studying down here in two dimensions, looking at the papers, and he comes from left field on the third dimension, and they've got no experience with what he's done, with what he's had, with where he comes from, with who he is. So these Pharisees, I'm not trying to slag them off. They've got a legitimate job. They are the ones who've got the experience. Their job is to judge teachings and qualifications and to say, "Yes, this guy is teaching the right thing. This guy is trustworthy." Or, "No, don't believe him. He's speaking out of the side of his mouth. He's not trustworthy." But Jesus doesn't need the Pharisees to approve his claims or his teaching. He can teach about God because he's God's son. He can talk about heaven because that's where he comes from. In Australia, we have an authority that approves people to use our airways, CASA. So the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. If you want to be able to fly in Australia, you need approval from CASA. So they will check your qualifications? Are you able to do the safety checks? Is your plane worthy to fly? Do you have enough experience, like the right number of hours? You need approval from CASA. Now, these Pharisees are a bit like CASA. If you want to teach, then you need our approval. But along comes Jesus, and he's like a bird. He comes out of left field. Now, CASA, if you think about these Pharisees trying to approve or disapprove Jesus, it's like CASA trying to give a license or take away a license from this bird. Now, the bird doesn't need the license. It's in his nature to fly. Now, Jesus doesn't need their approval. Jesus is from God. Now, Jesus says his testimony is valid. He's authorized to testify on his own behalf. Jesus said that it's his Father who testifies, and he is sent by his Father. He's claiming a unique relationship with God, and they don't understand. Well, they say, who is your Father? Where is he? Maybe they want to verify his claims. Or maybe it's a bit of a dig at Jesus. Maybe they've heard that Joseph isn't his actual father. Maybe they're saying, who really is your Father? Well, maybe there is, maybe it's not. Yet Jesus says, if you know me, you'd know God, in verse 19. Later on in this chapter, he questions their heritage. We're Abraham's children, they say. But Jesus says, you're actually the devil's children. And they're so offended that they pick up rocks to kill him. Now that action, picking up rocks to kill him, that betrays their ancestry. They're showing their actions, they're showing by their actions and attitudes who they really belong to. Now, if we were them, we would probably behave in the same kind of way. They're not more guilty than us. They're not more sinful than us. They're not more judgmental than us. We have the same attitudes inside our own hearts. In verse 15, Jesus says he doesn't pass judgment, but when Jesus points out the truth, that he comes from God, he forces people who meet him to choose. You either be with God and follow him, or be against God and don't follow him. It uncovers your heart, which is anti-God. It uncovered their heart, which is against God. In John 9, the next chapter along, Jesus meets a man who is born blind from birth, and he heals him. Now, that was one of the predictions that the Messiah would be there. That was one of the proofs that the blind will be able to see. And Jesus did this. Jesus made mud and he put it on his eyes and he asked the man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. And when he washed it off, he could see again. And when the Pharisees found out, they were offended and they interrogated the man who'd been healed. Were you that blind beggar? Were you actually the man who was born blind? Were you healed just now? Who healed you on the Sabbath? Where are your parents? Can they confirm what you are saying? Where is the man who healed you? At one level, they're trying to affirm what has happened. At another level, they're trying to judge. Well, later, Jesus finds the man who was born blind, and that man worships him. He recognized Jesus as the one sent from God. He recognized Jesus as the Savior. And here, Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. I am the Saviour. Follow me and have life. Don't follow me and you'll die in your sins. So that leads to role. Then Jesus speaks about his role. I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Jesus is going to deal with sin. But it's so far outside of their understanding that they have no idea. Will he kill himself, they ask. Jesus reiterates, you are of this world and I am from heaven. If you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Who are you, they say? Who do you think you are? Is another way to translate it. Or another way is, what gives you the right to judge us? In verse 25. Jesus responds that he's been telling them the same thing from the beginning. I am from God. He sent me so that you can understand him. I'm telling you the message that God gave me. I'm doing the job that God sent me to do, and this pleases him. He sent me to save you. And they still had no idea. So he tells them about when they've lifted up the Son of Man. Now in my mind, he's predicting his death. In my mind, he's pointing them to the time when his work is to get rid of their sins. It reminds me of the time when Moses, in Numbers, lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness. The people were sinful. God sent snakes to bite them, and many of them died. This was his judgment against their grumbling or their not wanting to follow him anymore. God instructed Moses to make this bronze snake and to put it on a stick, and if anyone looked at the snake, they would be healed. Now, as the snake is lifted up, Jesus is lifted up. If you want to be healed, look to Jesus. Or if you want to be healed, look to the snake. You just have to follow him. You just have to trust him. You don't have to stop grumbling. Well, you do have to stop grumbling, but that's not what he says. Just look and you'll be healed. If you look to Jesus, you will not die from your sins. You'll be healed. So look, it's all well and good that we know about these things that Jesus says, but what do we do with it? It's this thing that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. It's not a trivial fact like koalas have two thumbs on each hand. That doesn't affect my life knowing that koalas have got two thumbs. It's not a fact for those who are enthusiasts or those who are particularly keen on this kind of thing. Like Parramatta Eels play Newcastle at Hunter Stadium today. It's not that kind of fact. This is knowledge that affects everyone. As if we're all walking towards a cliff and over here are the stairs. It's a fact. 100% of people who are born die. It's a fact. We're all walking towards a cliff. We're all heading towards death. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not die in their sins. So, what are we up to? Will you die in your sins? Or will you look to Jesus and be saved? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Follow him, have life. Don't follow him, die in your sins. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the light of the world. We praise you for your work and your words and your identity. Thank you, Lord, for coming from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the Father. Thank you, Lord, for offering us life. Help us, Lord, to believe, to look to you, and to live. In your name we pray. Amen.